We're going to read once more from Scripture, this time the New Testament. Our sermon text this afternoon is Ephesians chapter 6. The sermon text is the first part of Ephesians 6:14. We will begin reading, however, at verse 10. This is the Word of God, reading from Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth. That's God's word. Let us pray that He would bless it to us. Father, we thank You that You have given us Your word, that it is sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing to joint and marrow. We ask that You would show us Christ, clothed in His gospel, for Your glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, as we've been going through this section of Ephesians, Paul has been describing the necessity to stand, and now he begins the section with the actual armor of God. And perhaps you've had a very different experience. Perhaps you've competed in a three-legged race. If you have, you know the challenge that it can be to try to run with your legs tied. And you've perhaps recognized that the challenge of a three-legged race is not in going quickly, nor in being particularly graceful. The challenge is sometimes just standing. And see, Paul is writing here in Ephesians to believers. He's writing to people who know Jesus Christ savingly. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Do you know the salvation that is freely offered in Him? If you do, then you'll see Paul's words, and you'll hear that this is what characterizes our lives as believers. If you do not know Christ Jesus savingly this morning, then cry out to Him for salvation, and He will save you. And what you're going to hear this morning is a description of what a life lived by faith in Christ looks like. See, Paul begins with an exhortation before defining what the belt is and what the belt does for us. And so we begin with this exhortation in verse 14. Paul writes, "Stand, therefore." And he's repeating himself, isn't he? He's said that several times already. He's reminded the church in Ephesus, he's reminded us to be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might, that we should stand against the schemes of the devil. He's reminded us that having done all, to stand firm. And now he gives us the command, stand. How easy is it to forget that exhortation? Where do we go wrong? Why is it so easy that we should want to not stand? Perhaps you've told yourself, I just don't have the strength. I do not have the strength to stand. It's an easy thing to find yourself in that spiral. But what has Paul just said? Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Believer, look to Christ who is your strength. Perhaps you don't wish to stand because you're discouraged, because you're beaten down under the weight of cares. What does our Savior say? He says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Perhaps standing is just a lot of work. What does Christ tell us about the nature of this work? He says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." The reality is that this standing is resting in Christ. That is our calling. Or perhaps the attacks that come against you that would cause you to not desire to stand take a different character. Perhaps they come against you and say, there must be something wrong with you. There must be something about you that makes you unlovable. How could I possibly come to God? But what does Christ say about his church? What is the attitude of Christ for his church? We've just read, if you're reading through Ephesians, you'll have just read in chapter 5 that husbands are commanded to love their wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. That's Christ's attitude toward you. When the doubts about your worthiness come into view, you say, my worth is not in myself. My worth is in Christ who loves me and gave himself for me. You see, this list of things that would keep us from standing firm against the attacks of the devil could go on, but they all share the same common thread, the common theme of looking to ourselves when we should be looking to Christ. So look to him, for he has promised that whoever believes has eternal life. This is the reality that he holds out for us in himself. And so, looking to Christ Jesus as your Savior, as your sufficiency, believer, stand. Paul's tone here is a call to action. God has given Jesus himself to you, freely offered, clothed in his gospel. He has given you the full complement of his own divine armament, battle-tested and victorious in Christ Jesus. And as we begin to put on this armor, we follow along with Paul's logical progression, beginning with the belt. Paul writes, having fastened on the belt of truth. A moment ago we read in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 5, of the branch of Jesse that will belt righteousness about his waist and faithfulness about his loins. That word faithfulness you can also translate as truth. We are called here to imitate our Savior, who girds himself about with truth. Perhaps this afternoon you're wondering, what is truth? You would not be the first to ask that. Pilate himself, facing Jesus, asked, what is truth? Oblivious to the irony that it is Jesus himself who is the way and the truth and the life. And if you've read Ephesians through in one sitting, only moments before, in chapter 4, verse 21, Paul has said, the truth is in Jesus. So, believer, what is to be your belt but the truth, which is Christ himself? See, all mankind knows the reality of God, and yet they exchange the truth of God for a lie, as Paul writes in Romans 1:25. But the truth of God, Jesus Christ, come in the flesh, does not distance himself from his people. But he says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you in all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. That's what Jesus says in John 16, 13 and 14. This reality means that if you have turned to Jesus Christ, it is the work of the Holy Spirit who has led you to the truth that is in him, to the one who is the way and the truth and the life, to the one who is the resurrection and the life, as he says in John 11, 25. And brothers and sisters, this gives you tremendous freedom. This gives you tremendous freedom, for Christ will not put you to shame. Because what is Paul talking about with this belt? What does this belt do? See, the belt of truth gives us freedom to move. That's what Paul is describing here. Perhaps you have in your mind the imagery of the armor of God and you're thinking of a 14th century knight. That's not the armor that Paul is talking about. Perhaps you've always imagined a leather belt being fastened over the outside of stainless steel armor. That's not what Paul is talking about here. He's talking about something more fundamental, something that happens before the armor gets put on. See, the Ephesians would have been very familiar with the garb of the day, that you wear a long tunic that makes it a little bit tricky to run, like the three-legged race. And before you're going to go into battle, before you even put on your armor, you have to tie up that tunic so that it doesn't impede your movement. That's the language that Paul is using here in Ephesians 6:14. And it's, in fact, the same language that is strikingly familiar to us from the book of Job. You might recall when Job has been speaking to God and the Lord answers Job out of the whirlwind in chapter 38, verse 3, and in chapter 40, verse 7, God says, "Dress for action like a man." Or perhaps your translation is a little more archaic and says, "Gird up your loins like a man." That's the language Paul is using here. The imagery is of taking that restrictive garment that would make it difficult to move and tying it up out of the way. Perhaps if Paul was in the 21st century, he might have said something more like, "Get in a fighting stance." Paul is describing for us how a believer has freedom to move swiftly on the battlefield with feet unencumbered because you have been girded with truth, not shackled by falsehood. This reality is yours in Christ Jesus. But remembering that takes watchfulness. It takes vigilance in our faith, lest we should find ourselves asleep at our post, failing to stand, lulled to sleep by whispered lies so that we wake up like poor Gulliver on the Isle of Lilliput, tied down in place by 100 tiny lies. Paul is reminding us what Jesus says in John 8, 31 and 32. "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Christian, as you war against the devil, your back is not pressed against the wall. He would love for you to think that you're on the back foot, that you're hard-pressed from all sides, that you have no freedom to move, but you have freedom in Christ Jesus that he can't comprehend. Your adversary loves to paralyze with fear, to draw your gaze from Christ, who is your Savior, to make you focus on yourself, to accuse you by dragging out sins that you've brought to Christ, that Christ has already forgiven, and to say to you, "Do you really believe that Christ is sufficient for you?" But believer, your feet are swift with gospel freedom to run to Christ, who is the truth, and in whom there is abundance of salvation. So you abide in the truth of Christ Jesus. You have the reality of forgiveness declared before the bar of divine justice. Is your adversary God that he should condemn you? No. What does Paul say in the very beginning of Romans chapter 8? "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." Your adversary has no answer for that. He will strive to deceive you. He will strive to hem you in and stifle you, to make you think that your feet are stuck in concrete. But child of God, you have a powerful response in Christ Jesus. You have a powerful Savior, and you can echo the words of Habakkuk at the end of his prophecy, "Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. God, the Lord, is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on my high places. What is there that would hem you in? What is there when you have been given such freedom in Christ Jesus? Believer, you have come to the Savior. You have come to Jesus, who is the way and the truth and the life. And the Spirit of truth bears witness to you of this reality. So when you are tempted to think that you cannot stand, when you are tempted to think that you cannot keep up the fight, when you are downcast and the cares of the world would seek to submerge you beneath a tidal wave of doubt, when the devil whispers accusations in your ear, you remember that you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your glory, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. So, Christian, gird yourself for action. Wrap yourself in the belt of truth. Put on Christ Jesus. Take hold of the joy that is yours in him. Wrap yourself in truth, confident that the victory is won in Christ, that he has taken the record of debt that stood against you, and he has canceled it, setting it aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and the authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. Give no ground to the devil. Give no ground to the lies that would weigh you down. But belt yourself in truth. The truth is that you and I have been forgiven greatly in Christ Jesus. And so we are free now to forgive one another, so that we would not be outwitted by Satan, as Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 2:11. And believer, when you see your brothers and sisters weighed down, what can you do but bring them the truth that is Christ Jesus? It's one of the simple realities that before you jump out of an airplane, if you're a paratrooper, someone else checks your gear. Someone else checks to make sure that you are, in fact, attached to the airplane so that your parachute will open. Brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, we need the truth that is Jesus Christ. That is where our freedom is found. So remember Christ Jesus. Remember his great love for you and hold fast to that love. Hold fast to Christ, for in him alone you are free. Let us pray. Our gracious God and our Father, we thank you that you have given to us Christ himself. We thank you that you have freed us from the tyranny of sin, that we might live unto Christ. We ask that you would build us up by your word and spirit into gospel maturity for your glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.